simple things you can do to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. Older adults or those who have other serious chronic health conditions, including chronic lung disease, heart disease, cancer, or weakened immune systems, are especially at risk for severe illness and must stay at home as much as possible. The Score is here for you. We're always live and local. Just tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score from radio.com. The Score is helping Chicago stay connected. For more, go to radio.com/stay connected.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago.
The Score! The top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all of those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including grocery store employees, restaurant staffs, and delivery drivers. Shout out to them for real, for real. We appreciate you. This hour is also being brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. I mean, you should hit them up, considering shelter in place is going to be in order for a little bit while longer. You don't want to have one of them babies. Or maybe you do, but if you don't, you should hit up the Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. Talk to them. Let them walk you through it. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
We start the show with one of our friends. I'm very, very happy that Joe Madden had the time to call us up today.
An overarching philosophy of mine, and it's actually one of my paintings. The more freedom given, in a sense, the greater discipline and respect returned. Think about it. When you're treated like an adult, you or me or whomever, and we're in a professional situation, whenever anybody's not constantly lording over you and constantly trying to fill you up with dress codes and ways to act or trying to manipulate the way you're thinking to agree with their mores or norms, when you don't attempt to do that to somebody, when your boss doesn't attempt to do that, don't you really appreciate that in return? Don't you then again want to run through the wall for that particular person? So to me, these are thoughts that I arrived at. The more freedom I give, and for lack of a better term, as a coach or a leader, the more freedom I give to the group, I believe the greater respect and discipline is going to be returned.
Make me a bicycle clown!
Yeah, it was great to talk with Joe Madden yesterday. Herbie and I have been going back and forth on if we're going to bring back the whole thing because it was really good and it was a little different. And it was sports, but it wasn't sports and it was leadership and people love hearing leadership type stuff. So we're still debating that, like internally as a show, like what do we do with it? I know that there's one portion of it that is going to come back today. And the one that is mostly Cubs related, but it was great talking with Joe, and I hope that he makes it through episodes 3 and 4 to understand why I was drawing the parallel between him and Phil Jackson. I'm looking forward to getting that text message from him after he is done watching it. Welcome into the show. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. We got a lot of stuff to do today. We got a bunch of great guests. Pete Futak. FIU TAC is going to be on the show at 1:30 today. He of College Football News. I want to talk with him about this movement towards allowing college players to benefit from their names and likenesses. We're going to talk about that at 1:30. We're also going to talk about what he thought of the Bears draft. And he was a guy that used to do the ratings for NCAA football. So those things kind of intertwine with this new stuff that the NCAA is talking about, so we'll talk with him about that. At 1 o'clock, after the show yesterday, I raced upstairs, and I got on a Zoom with Jason Hayward. He was nice enough to be on the show, and you're going to hear the interview at 1 o'clock. We talked about a lot of stuff, including what it's like for the Cubs that are still in Arizona to be in Arizona. What they did, here's what I'll tell you, that what I can tell you before I play the interview at 1 o'clock, basically they went Ocean's 11 with the workout equipment at Sloan Park. You'll hear about that coming up at 1. It's a really good conversation, and I imagine that any baseball fan or any Cub fan is going to enjoy some of the things that are said. We got in-depth. We talked for a while, so you'll get to hear that at 1. At 12:40, our buddy Jason Leisure is going to be on the show. I'm looking forward to talking with him about the Bears. Matt Nagy held a 125-person Zoom with the Bears yesterday. I want to pick Jason's brain about the Bears draft as well, and some of the things that have come out of it, like the Bears didn't add another quarterback, really, and what did they do with the offensive line, and he talked with Brian Kelly about Cole Kmet, so I'm looking forward to that. We got a lot of stuff to do today, a ton. There's a couple different directions that I want to go on the show. I want to tell you a little bit about this story that is going on in college sports right now, because I think that you might find it interesting, and I know that there are a ton of people who are just waiting for NCAA football on EA Sports to come back. Here's the headline. This is from NCAA.org, and then I'll get into some independent reporting off of this. But they put this up this morning. Headline reads, Board of Governors moves towards allowing student-athletes compensation for endorsements and promotions. Subheadline, the NCAA's highest governing body has taken unprecedented steps to allow college athletes to be compensated for their name, image, and likeness. It reads as follows. At its meeting this week, the Board of Governors supported rule changes to allow student-athletes to receive compensation for third-party endorsements both related to and separate from athletics. It also supports compensation for other student-athlete opportunities such as social media businesses that they have started and personal appearances within the guiding principles originally outlined by the board in October. Halt. If you remember, there was that kicker at Central Florida. Remember him? Where he had this crazy like YouTube page, and the NCAA wasn't allowing him to make money off of that page. So this speaks a little bit to that. The statement goes on to read, while student-athletes would be permitted to identify themselves by sport and school, the use of conference and school logos, trademarks, or other involvement would not be allowed. The board emphasized that at no point should a university or college pay student-athletes for name, image, and likeness activities. Quote, throughout our efforts to enhance support for college athletes, the NCAA has relied upon considerable feedback from and the engagement of our members, including numerous student athletes from all three divisions. Allowing promotions and third-party endorsements is uncharted territory. That is from Michael V. Drake, chair of the board and president of Ohio State. This is what they're hoping to adopt, and they're thinking by January they can get this done and it would go into effect for the 2021-22 academic year. One, ensuring student athletes are treated similarly to non-athlete students unless a compelling reason exists to differentiate. Two, maintaining the priorities of education and the collegiate experience to provide opportunities for student athlete success. Three, ensuring rules are transparent, focused, and enforceable, and facilitating fair and balanced competition. Four, making clear the distinction between collegiate and professional opportunities. Five, making clear that compensation for athletics performance or participation is impermissible. Six, reaffirming that student athletes are students first and not employees of the university. We'll come back to six. Seven, enhancing principles of diversity, inclusion, and gender equity. Eight, protecting the recruiting environment and prohibiting inducements to select, remain at, or transfer to a specific institution. Okay, the first thing that my first reaction was, that's good. It's good that these kids are going to finally be able to benefit from their likenesses and their images and their name. On its face, to me, that's good. I think that there are a lot of issues here. And I think that one of the issues is, how many people are really going to benefit from this? it's one of the questions I want to ask Futek when we get him on, because if you think about for football, particularly for football, if the NCAA game is able to come back, how will that money be divided amongst the teams that are going to be involved in the game? That's far down the road. It's just something that I was thinking about. The other thing is, how will they go about making sure? What it comes down to is, I don't trust the NCAA. I really don't. I don't trust them to, even in a situation where it looks like they're doing the right thing, where it looks like they're moving forward and making progress, that you kind of sit there and go, what do they get out of it? Because they aren't an institution that recently feels like they are trying to do the best when it comes to the dollars for the student athlete. And you can't see me, but I'm using air quotes when I say that. So then I read a piece that ESPN put together on this. Let's see who's the author on this. It was Dan Murphy, one of their writers. And what struck me is some of the bipartisan, because now the NCAA is saying, well, we want to talk with Congress, and we need Congress to help us out with all of this. And I'm sitting here like, what is that all about? And it's interesting that there is bipartisan skepticism on this. That there are people in Congress that are like, I still need to see a lot of things before we are going to get involved in this type of stuff. It boggles my mind that in an era where it has become increasingly difficult to find consensus amongst people who have different political views, that we are seeing both Republicans and Democrats in Congress look at the NCAA with a bit of a side eye. This is what Mark Emmert said. He said, it's clear we need Congress's help in all of this. Representative Mark Walker, Republican of North Carolina, said this, quote, today is either the day that a wall of injustice around student athletes started to crumble, or the day the NCAA used more tactics to bait and switch young men and women from some of America's most vulnerable communities. My hope is the former, and that the proposal on name, image, and likeness is genuine. If enacted in good faith, this move will save college sports we love by creating equity, transparency, and opportunity. He's not alone in this, in having some skepticism. Nancy Skinner, who's a state senator from Berkeley, said this. The devil is in the details. I urge states to press forward with their plans to keep the pressure on the NCAA. I also look forward to closely examining the NCAA's decision and monitoring the steps it takes going forward. Pressure from states and the public will help ensure the NCAA does the right thing and crosses the finish line to fully give college athletes the same rights that all other Americans enjoy. So the fact that there is bipartisan skepticism on this makes me skeptical. I mean, I kind of live in a world where I'm skeptical about things, but that makes me real skeptical. Why is the NCAA coming out with this right now? Why do they need to make this announcement? And especially when they aren't talking about getting it done until January. I think that college sports, and you've heard me over the last few weeks talk about this. I've had guests on to talk about this. Futak's one of them. Had Sean Frazier, the athletic director at NIU, Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic, who's been doing a great job covering all this stuff. I think that college sports is going to be the most difficult to bring back. And part of the reason is, and it is the difference between pro and college, is the fact that it isn't unionized in college. And I don't know if we're heading towards that. If a unionization, it's a hard word to say, unionization of college athletes is where we're going. Because to me, the issue with bringing college sports back versus bringing pro sports back is MLB players, they have a representation. They can say, you know, this three-division, 10-team plan, we don't like it, but we want to play, and we're going to agree to play to it if these conditions are met. Boom, 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 boom. And then they can take that to ownership, and MLB could work it out, and you could have baseball inside of an empty Arizona stadium, right? Same thing with the NFL, although we're still way down the road from that. They can't even practice. Like, once we get to the point where we're practicing, there might be some pushback from players. Case in point, in the English Premier League, there are players that are like, I'm not comfortable with this, with us coming back and playing just yet. In the case of NFL players, they've got the NFLPA. Their rank and file can have a voice. They can make a determination, and then everyone can move on and decide to play or decide to not play. NBA, same type of deal. But with college sports, I don't know how you get that many athletes in one sport organized to do what's best for them. Who will speak for them? Who's going to speak for them? And then, once you figure out some of this licensing stuff, who's going to speak for the sports that aren't revenue generating? Now, there are some cases where traditional non-revenue generating sports, there are athletes that rise above it. The gymnast that was at UCLA, for example, that became like a national sensation. She could get money now under the, she's graduated, but that's my point. Who's gonna organize all of this? It's going to be a struggle. And then with football in particular, how are you going to have games if kids can't come back to campus? I know that there are some people now, like as we're getting closer and closer to college football and the likelihood of it not starting on time, we're starting to hear some of the people in athletic departments go, well, we'd be okay with having games without fans or students on campus, because of how much money is generated from the television deals for college football, even though they get a bigger bundle of money for people being inside their stadium than the pros do. Like, for the pros, the television contracts are what matter for the pros. It's not the only thing, but it's the biggest thing that matters for them. In college, the television contract matters immensely, but also the gate of getting people into Athens, Georgia, getting people into Tuscaloosa, Alabama, getting people into Eugene, Oregon. Those turnstiles actually matter. I feel like, I know that we've all been kind of looking at the NCAA and like, when are we going to figure out that it's a little bit obsolete? I think that we're stepping closer and closer to that every single day. Because I think at the end of this, the conferences are going to, if things get desperate enough, they're going to supersede the NCAA. We're already seeing clusters of schools making pacts about travel and scheduling. I don't know if this was the NCAA trying to reassert itself or put itself in a position where people would go, oh yeah, they're taking positive steps forward. I think that it's like a desperate organization right now trying to find relevance. And I'm still formulating all of my opinions on this, so don't kill me for it yet, but that's the way it seems to me right now, that the NCAA is like, look over here, we still matter, we are still the body that is looking out for athletes, and we are still the people that are going to regulate whether or not these young people can get money. How much money y'all getting? Don't ask that question. Don't ask that. Also, we have to make football work even if our students aren't on campus okay. So that's what I think about it. Feel free to text 670-11 if you would like to offer some points. And as I said, P. Futek is going to join me at 1:30 today. We'll go a little bit more in depth.